Hold me closer, Tony Danza. Count the headlights on the... Oh, hey, guys. What is going on this evening? How are you?
Wait, did we walk in on you or did you walk in on
me? I'm excited. I mean, you guys know I'm kind of a student of the theater, right? Like a pretty cultured individual. And I'm sure you guys heard, out on Broadway right now, Almost Famous the Musical. Did you know this is happening? It's pretty exciting times.
I might have heard it, but I don't know. I want to know more.
Yeah, no, I've got my tickets, front row, orchestra. I'm ready. I'm going to get down back to New York where I belong and just take in a show. But my excitement has led me to really see that there's a hole in the market for us, guys.
A Broadway hole?
Tell me more.
Yeah, that's kind of it. I think we need to diversify. I think you're picking up what I'm putting down, Becker. Blotto Beatles, the musical. I think we're going to hit Broadway, and it's going to wow some people. And I'm starting to get the book together. I'm going to be taking some meetings when I go see Almost Famous. I thought we could do like a little table read of the first scene, if that's okay. If you guys could play yourselves. You all have parts, if you don't mind. Is that all right?
That's the part I prepared for. So that's
Okay. I just put the link in the chat. I'm going to ask you to open up this document, and we'll just run through these first lines and the first piece. We've all got it up?
I got it.
I see it. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I only have one fucking line. Whatever.
This is just the beginning. This is like, just imagine, you know, you're sitting in a Broadway theater. The curtains open, and suddenly, you guys are standing around, and in I walk, okay, across the stage. Here we go. Interior, podcasting Zoom room. Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Did you hear the news?
Oh, wait, that's not my line.
Oh, my God. It's all right. You're not a professional. I get it. That's why we're doing this table read. We get
Take
our practice
two.
In. All right. Did you hear the news?
What's that, chum?
The Blotto Beatles are coming to town.
The hammered highbrows of Beatles Broadcasting?
The very same, pal.
All four fermented friends?
You know it, chap. Look, and here they come now. It's the Blotto Beatles. More yucks and picks of Ringo's Beatles. Blotto Beatles are back, inventing podcasts like Hamilton did rap. There's the handsome one, the funny one, the smart one, the compassionate one, and also Becker, Scotty, and RB. Blotto Beatles, they come in at ya. Blotto Beatles, with plenty of laughter. Boy, this podcast, it'll sure make you think. Does anybody need a drink? I'm just a lonely podcaster with a dream to be heard and not seen. I can't believe my idols are here. Will somebody get me a beer? Blotto Beatles, they're coming at ya. Blotto Beatles, plenty of laughter. Boy, this podcast, it'll sure make you think. Does anybody need a drink? Wow. Blotto Beatles, the musical. Are you guys ready? Let's get on Broadway. Let's diversify. I'm ready.
I'm worried that was going to be part of the Lin-Manuel Miranda-verse, but I'm glad we're going off on our own.
I know. We're ready, guys. Let's do it.
You know what you're doing. Yeah.
Good evening, my blotto scruffs. I'll tell you, just the sight of those listens ticking up with every new release makes our nighttime bright. So again, I thank you for plugging us into your brain for another adventure. Welcome back to Blotto Beatles, celebrated the world over as the leading half-cut catechists of Beatles broadcasting. We are on episode 53. I'm Becker, and as a reminder, we are the podcast where a couple of friends have a couple of drinks and come together to discuss and rank a single Beatles song. Let me tell you on this one. Our guests have remarked upon it to me privately. You've written in with your concerns about his vision. You wanted to hear that he went to the optometrist. You wanted to hear it all went well. And here I am looking at one handsome, bespeckled devil. Please welcome this charming man. It's Tommy.
No, Lynn, I'll be with you in a minute. I'm doing the podcast. I know. Sorry, Lin-Manuel Miranda has been all over me since he heard about the...
He wants his rights
right away. The Blotto Beatles musical. Yeah, it's like...
He probably wants to touch that cool sweater, too.
Kind of keeps calling. He keeps calling. And a little obnoxious.
This man puts the sneaky into dead Kennedys. It's the George Martin of New England. Executive producer Scotty C. What's up, my bud?
Oh, dead Kennedys.
Yeah, we just lost the
D.H. Peligro,
right?
Yeah.
Oh.
I didn't realize that he's the second or third drummer of the dead Kennedys, and he also did a little stint in the Chili Peppers.
Yeah, that's how John got to the Chili Peppers. He was jamming with him. And then he was like, oh, I know this guy, John, he's pretty good. You guys will like him.
And then quickly, he was not in the gym.
Yeah.
Not that he was replaced by John, but he had a short
stint,
right? So, he was replaced by Chad, right, I think?
Yeah. They did a couple songs. They wrote a couple songs together.
Clearly that worked out for the Chili Peps. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of course, in the fourth virtual bar stool position, we have music supervisor of the stars, RB. You know that B stands for Beatles. And tonight, I'm also saying... That B stands for bright.
Bright.
Bright. Yeah, you've got it much better than me. I was thinking today, I'm generally not a fan, and I don't love going after endorsements, but it is crazy that we are not getting RB sponsored by Arby's.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Missed opportunity.
Like, every
just
time
like
we
roast
have,
beef
like...
sandwiches every episode.
Yeah, he should just be, like, munching roast beef sandwiches.
I don't know
whenever
if we're
going to, like, Arby's corner.
Roast beef sandwiches, you know, that have been mailed to me.
There's no Arby's in Vermont, you don't think?
Not that
so
I
So, anyways, I'm aggressively going to start courting the Arby's relationship. You know?
All right.
I think that would just be fantastic. So, you boys are good. We're doing back-to-back weekends, which we haven't done in a while.
Look
which
at
is,
us.
It's nice
Look
to see you guys
us.
Back-to-back. It really is. I put it on the socials because we're late with our episodes, but we've had a bunch of delays and scheduling, and I got COVID and things like that. So I am pumped to sort of get back in the mix. It's funny to think about the heart of the pandemic that we would just record like every night. Like every week
we would record
and we would get hardcore... drunk, you know,
and because we'd that do was a check-in every leaving. Week too.
Yeah, we would do like a meeting midweek. I know anyone listening is like, what could these guys possibly talk about in a meeting?
It's true, just an excuse to hang out more. Yeah,
and then we would just get like rip roaring drunk for the episodes because like the world was ending. Like I didn't know what was going. I wasn't going to work. I was working from home. We weren't leaving the house. Like. This podcast was absolutely all we had. So I'm actually pumped to be recording back to back. It's nice. It's nice to get on a little bit of a roll, you know?
Yeah.
Thank God we shook the rust off, huh? We're right on point tonight.
That intro. I mean, that intro, that's some back to back week intro, man. That's not tossed off.
When did you compose that?
I hired a musician. To help me with the musical parts. His name is, I believe his last name is pronounced Copyright Free. And I found him via YouTube. He's a really, really stunning musician. Just he saw the vision, you know, and went for it.
Yeah. Sounds like he's got a knack for it. Yeah. You certainly do.
Well,
I don't think I said
the pipes.
I don't think I said this last week, but I am now, and cut me off if I did, I am certain on what Scotty C is picking for our last track. Did I say that?
Oh, no, you didn't say that.
Interesting.
Scotty C, take your headphones off it, and don't listen when you edit this part. But
okay.
I think it's Across the Universe.
Oh, all right.
Wow.
I was listening to that tune. And I was just like, this song almost like exemplifies the podcast. I'm like, I am now convinced. Huh. I'm sure it's a tune that a guest will ask for. And so I'm curious to hear if like
he'll slap
how
it down.
Scotty will navigate it. But I am now like, this is the tune in Scotty's brain.
Scott, do you feel like you know what the last song is?
I've thought about it a couple, but I don't really know for sure. You keep guessing, so if you're finally going to guess it, what the fucking fun is that?
I dig it. I just guessed it right.
I didn't hear what you said.
You'll never know.
I'll never know.
We just had a great episode last week with Another Kind of Mind. We had Phoebe and Daphne on, and we talked about Mother Nature's Son. That we are now recording before that has been released, so we don't have any feedback to sort of react to. But I had forgotten that I have the Paul McCartney lyrics books, and I keep forgetting to like check those as reference. But Mother Nature's Son is in there, and I always, you know. It's tough because, like, I want to believe a Beatle, and then you also, like, question the Beatles, right? You know, but when Paul has, like, recent material and how he's writing about songs, like, I generally want to believe that. And so, you know, he reinforces the nature narrative, basically. He says he's, like, into streams. He's like, I love following a stream to, like, where it ends the ocean or wherever it ends. And the other thing he says is that the... Find Me in My Fields of Grass is definitely a cheeky reference to weed, which I think I said earlier. I was like, I think this is just a nature weedy song. Like not a like it needs to be a crazy psychedelic experience, but like there's a little nod to weed. So I don't know if McCartney plays into some of that a little bit now that he likes
a large quantity of weed. He's got a whole field of it.
He better be careful of Detective Pilcher, right?
That's what he's after, you know.
Yeah.
That doesn't reinforce anything from last week, but I do like the things that just come out of Paul's mouth when he.
It's a good point. I got those books too, and I haven't cracked them as much as I should have. So that's a good reason to like every time there's a Paul tune to kind of go in and see what he's saying about it.
Yeah, yeah. Not every tune is in there, but it's you know you see the handwritten lyrics, which I actually think is always a nice like starts a nice relationship with the song to see that it was like written.
So anyway, that's a little bit of our intro. That was, what did we call it last time? The banter section, right, Becker, that people love so much. That was the banter section.
There's another tweet recently that got like 10,000 likes. It's just like, podcast, stop bantering. What do you want us to do? Yeah, our premise is so thin. Yeah. You want 7-minute episodes?
All right. So we won't banter anymore. And instead, let's talk about what we're drinking. I have started the evening with I wasn't feeling whiskey this evening, so I went to tequila, a little tequila cocktail. I'm just having some fresh lime juice and a little seltzer on top. Keep it fresh and clean. And then I got a little mixed bag of beers here. I got some of the Exhibit A Dankos. I still have some of those, the Lone Pine OJ beers in there. And then, of course, the white can, the official. The Devil's Part Sandline Culture, official beer of Blotto Beals, will be coming out at some point this evening. RB, what's going on in Vermont for drinks tonight?
I'm drinking a beer. I'm drinking a beer from Weymouth, Massachusetts tonight.
Oh, perfect. Is that a vitamin C?
It is a vitamin C. When I was down there in that neck of the woods, I made a little stop. This is the Due North, and it is quite tasty. And then I've got a foam IPA on deck over here. And the official as well. But I started off with a little tequila thing as well. I had a little margarita thing that as we were warming up here.
Yeah. Awesome. What's going on? You guys don't want to tell each other that we're doing tequila tonight? Like, you guys text each other direct?
Well, you're not on that one?
A little tequila side channel.
You're not on Tommy and RB only? That chat?
No Becker chat? Is that what it's like? In my most anxiety, I believe there is a group chat that everyone has where it's all of my group chats, but there's a version that says without Becker. Like, I bet they're all just talking about how I was a dick last night.
Stop being a dick, then. We won't have those chats.
Yeah, I didn't mean to say dick. Like, I don't ever think of myself as being a dick.
Yeah. Scotty, what do you got?
I got a bottle of Chianti wine. I'm not going to try and say the name. And it's screw top. I'm a fan of the screw tops.
Yeah.
It's just easier at this point. Yeah. When you encounter a cork now, you're like, are you serious? Yeah. There's so much technology.
I know how to take care of that.
I was cleaning up the music room today, and I found in the corner the cork from our 50th had popped. Oh, yeah. I popped it and it went shooting somewhere.
Nice.
And
I found the top of my champagne thing today. We need to do a better job cleaning up.
Yeah. I mean, I talked about it on the little side channel we had going on there.
Yeah. That's when you decided to drink tequila.
Yeah. Becker, what do you got in cups this evening, my friend?
I am drinking Pacifico beers because I just wanted something pretty easy tonight. I started a little earlier. Saturdays are a funny night to record. Fridays, I'm always kind of rushing from wrapping up the work week and sort of like putting my daughter to bed and picking her from school and doing all of that after work stuff. And then Saturday is like, you know, beer clock creeps around like 4:30 or 5 o'clock or something. So I cracked some beers earlier in the day. And so I just brought a handful of Pacificos up to my desk to do this session tonight. And now I'm drinking some Wilderness Trail bourbon, which a friend of the podcast, Alec, has really been pushing. And I found it at my local liquor store. So I'm sipping on that and drinking some Pacificos. And I'm
pretty happy about it.
I'm going to tell you, I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
So that, my friends, is what we are drinking. Before we get on to this week's track, it's been a few episodes since we've done this. I don't know if the audience has forgotten. I don't know if Scotty's forgotten. Becker, I'm hoping you can tell us. Who are the Beatles?
You've forgotten? This is getting out of control, my friend. And I think a little bit I understand the confusion here because I'm a hardcore Beatle fan from back in the day. But I think that you hardcore. Only came on board after he had changed his name from the Beatles to just a symbol that had sort of no direct pronunciation, you know.
Yeah.
I've been into him since like the start of Apple Onia Records, you know.
Wait, hold on.
With over 100 million record sales to date, it's hard to even imagine a world where the Beatles, born and raised in Minnesota, this princely man, you know, like he brought a flamboyance and androgyny to a wide style of funk, R&B, new wave, soul music, you know. Well. Conquering the world with not only his singing, but his masterful musicianship, you know.
What happened here.
And sometimes I even forget that he's not even with us to this day. You know, it's amazing that we would do a podcast when there's no living members, you know. Not a living member.
Hey, I don't think, again, you're talking about.
I think you love these records. So, you know, Sino, the Christmas Times is here again. Or are you into number 1999? Number 1999. Number 1999. Which has some of the bigger hits, you know. Nothing Compares to You Without You. Nowhere Manic Monday. Let It Be Ray. When Doves Cry, Baby Cry. I'm So Thai Red Corvette. Number 9 Cream, Oh Darling Nikki, Morris Day in the Life. You know that.
Wow,
one.
You got a
You're
lot,
big fan
hey,
of that. You know.
You know.
And then there was this weird thing that was happening at the time where he did an entire soundtrack to the Batman movie. And do you know all of these songs? Oh,
no. Tell me, please. I can't wait.
Know this.
Yeah. Carrie Bat Wait, Money, Bat's What I Want, Bat'll Be the Day, You Can't Do Bat, You're Gonna Lose That Batgirl. Act Bachelorly, Anytime at All, Bat in the USSR, Get Bat. And like they stopped doing that. It was like that was just something of the time that they did these sort of soundtracking records, you know. But yeah, the Beatles. And it's been so great to commit 53 episodes to talking about this. And that's why I'm starting to get frustrated with you. Like, what are we doing? You know?
The lines got crossed, man. Once again, not the Beatles were not from Minnesota. They didn't live at Paisley Park. Did you know that?
No, the Beatles, it's just one person. No. You know, it was like a stage name. You know this. You love
stage
the theater.
Name? What accent is that? Stage name. Okay. You're talking about Prince, man. You're talking about Prince.
Oh.
Who, I know where the crossover is coming because he ripped that solo on While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Yeah.
What was that, at a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yeah, and then threw his guitar away.
And before we talk more about that, maybe we should decide if we were ever to do a Prince cast, what we would name it. I was really, as you were running through titles before you got to all the Batman stuff, trying to think of a bat dance name, but I couldn't get anywhere. So, you know, nothing compares to booze, I think, would be the name of our podcast.
I would call it like a purple champagne.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Champers?
Purple champers.
I only want to see dancing in the purple champers. No. It's champagne. Right. Champagne. Purple champagne. Purple champagne. Purple champagne.
Cleanse myself in the waters of Lake Mekong. I feel like every time we do one of these, I'm like, yeah, this is an artist I know and haven't done the deep dive on. Like, it's I'm not the biggest Prince guy, and I respect the talent. I think it's maybe like the style. It doesn't grab me initially of what he's doing, like 80s production and everything. But I think he's unbelievable as a musician and artist and songwriter. But where are you guys on Prince?
Recently, they sent out some demo stuff he did.
Yeah. Like some of that stuff really is great, where it's just Prince and a piano.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That stuff
is really, really good.
Unbelievable, yeah.
Yeah, I think the funny thing for Prince is, like, we grew up in a funny world of what the popular Prince songs were. Like, I think we missed it just a little bit of popular culture-wise. Like, we still had we mostly graduated high school in 98 or something. We had, like, funny 90s, like, Diamonds and Pearls and all of that was on the radio a ton, and like I could not get into that at all.
Yeah, the Batman soundtrack was absolutely the biggest reason I knew Prince.
Yeah, for sure.
100 without question.
And then I had this funny punk rock, I'm not funny, I had a sincere punk rock thing, and then I got a ton into Afghan Whigs, who were playing rock and roll, and they were starting to cover like Prince songs
Kiss.
When I would see them. And they, I remember once.
Greg, oh, no, they did Doves Cry, yeah.
He did Doves Cry, and he did Little Red Corvette on keys by himself once. And that started making me think about Prince in a totally different way from just like a. And then Purple Rain, of course. Like, once you like really watch Purple Rain, the movie, and listen to the album, like, it is pretty fucking amazing. Like, I don't know. Like, that is. There's something to this, like, songwriting ship and the drama to it that, like, has really captured me. Like, I'm pro Prince. Pro Prince.
Yeah.
Pro Prince.
Yeah. He's great.
RB, you get down with Prince?
Yeah, I think that record where it's just Prince and a piano, like, really was something that opened my eyes a bit. And also seeing that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame where he shreds the guitar. That was like very eye opening on his, you know, just technical ability. But yeah, like I don't know his whole catalog by any means, but I definitely respect him as a musician for sure.
Even when Prince did the Super Bowl, right? And you think that the Super Bowl is like the most garbage thing, and like the year that Prince did the Super Bowl, you're like, this is fucking ripping, you know, like it was just still interesting, you know. There's this funny thing that happens where RB keeps a musical book that we all sort of sing along and play music along to it at various events and all of that. And there are Prince songs in there.
There's a couple in there, yeah.
And people gravitate towards them and they think like, oh, I'm going to do when or sing these songs, like I'm going to karaoke this tune or something. And people think, oh, I'm going to do Purple Rain, or I'm going to do When Doves Cry. And no one can do it. Like, it's not like easily done. Like, they open it up and they're like, oh, this is fun. I know this
song.
Then
they bail
or whatever.
Quickly.
And you're like, oh, Purple Rain's like 6.5 minutes. Like, and if you're going to do it, like, you got to do it, you know? Like, and so it puts this funny thing to Prince where you're like, this is, it's almost like in that, like, you know, maybe only Freddie Mercury can do Queen songs or something like that. And then,
oh, he's such a singular presence.
Prince's level of musicianship is 10 times above Freddie Mercury's, but like maybe these aren't meant to, and people cover them all the time, but like there's still only one Prince, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I went back to the Beatles tie-in, and clearly that's the biggest. He's there What I never realized about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame performance that we're talking about is he's playing While My Guitar Gently Weeps with Tom Petty and Jeff Lynne and Danny Harrison.
Danny Harrison, yeah.
He is there basically because he's also getting inducted into the Hall of Fame that year. So the same year that Harrison got his solo induction, Prince is basically there. He's playing because he was invited. He's already basically in the building is what I'm trying to say. And so they come out to rehearse. And Prince doesn't like fully rehearse with them. He's basically like, I'll play the outro solo. And they're like, okay, but do you want to play it now? He's like, nah, we'll be fine. You know, kind of like, fuck it, we'll do it live or whatever.
Saving it for the
end. And then no one knows exactly what to expect. And then like Prince's outro rips like a 3-minute solo during this. And it's funny, I watched it back today. Where Danny Harrison looks very pumped about it. Like, he looks like, I am into what Prince is doing. Tom Petty does not look as happy about it. Like, it's like, all right, we can keep doing this. And Petty's singing and playing it out. But he's like, why didn't we rehearse? That's the sense I get about it, you know?
Yeah.
And there is this magical where Prince throws his guitar into the air. There's no shot of it going anywhere.
Yeah, somebody caught that.
Where did Prince's guitar go? Apparently Oprah has it. I don't quite know the whole story.
I'm pretty sure doves caught it.
They just flew away.
But it is this amazing
purple doves.
Wait, this Oprah amazing has piece the in the footage.
He throws the guitar. So supposedly Oprah has it now. I don't know the full story.
That's weird.
He throws the guitar. No one sees it land, which is crazy. And I've never seen an angle of it that it lands anywhere. And he walks off stage and
wow.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing way to go, you know?
Yeah.
Do you think Dave Chappelle, like, ruined Prince for a generation of people, like, in taking him seriously?
What, because he's really good at basketball?
I think that stuff is hilarious, but yeah, like, making pancakes, you know?
Yeah, for me, I loved it because it just adds, I love, like, a behind-the-scenes, like, rock and roll story, you know? Like, when he's, like, a... My favorite line of that thing is when he's like, we're going skins versus blouses or whatever like Charlie Murphy says to him. And then they like really get schooled by like the new Power Gen or Revolution, whoever they're playing against. And I'm like, I just, you know, whatever embellishment happens on that story, I just believe and fucking love,
you know? Go cleanse yourself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka. Yeah. When you say purify yourself, whatever it is.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny because the other part is I'm like, oh, well, he must have been into the Beatles, right? He's a musician. He's all of that. And he downplays the Beatles a ton. Bobby Z, the drummer from the Revolution, claims that they were playing Sgt. Pepper's in the Van. So this must have been like, or the tour bus, like late 70s, early 80s. And that Prince walks in during Good Morning, Good Morning. And is like, what is this? And they're like, this is the Beatles. And he's like, oh, all right. And I guess he plays it off cool. And then they claim that, like, later he secretly came back and, like, listened to Sergeant Pepper's, like, behind their backs to, like, not look like he didn't know what he was talking about or something like that. But,
Well, I think that's, like, that's amazing, but adds to the idea that he's a singular artist, right? Like, he doesn't necessarily have the influence and the weight of, like, these idols or whatever above him. Like, he's not standing on the shoulders of the Beatles. At all. He's something new.
He's definitely like the record Around the World in a Day. They sort of people a lot were like, oh, you're influenced by the Beatles, and they thought the cover was like sort of Sgt. Pepper reminiscent. And he says, like, oh, what they say about the Beatles being influenced is not true at all. He's like, they're great for what they did, but I don't know how they would hang today. I just love that. It's like being like a statement about the Beatles as being like, you're also probably one of like the powerhouse musicians, but you're like, I don't know how they would hang today, you know? And you're like, hey, McCartney's still alive. Harrison was probably still alive. Yeah,
he's still hanging today. Like,
yeah, I don't know how they would hang today, you know? I might start peppering that in a little bit as we talk about stuff.
Well,
so anyways, that's, you know, that's who the Beatles are.
Scotty, were you going to say something?
I think I would said this. I feel like he was like Bowie-ish.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just saying the same thing.
I think it's for sure.
And they passed pretty close to one another, like within months, right? It was the same year, I think.
You're right.
Really?
It was that 2016?
Is it that long ago? My goodness.
That we had that. That felt like a hard year.
Yeah, it really was. Right.
Oh, man.
So that's who the Beatles are, and I know we have got a couple emails about this bit, and I will clarify to say at this point, like, I'm not doing this bit with guests anymore. Like, it's made it really long, and so I think when we're here together as the Blotto Beatles,
when we're not working on the musical.
yeah, this may get replaced by us workshopping the musical. Yeah. So, you know, get ready for that.
Who are the Beatles is our guest for the times that we don't have a guest.
Yeah. I always have a ton of fun with this and throwing just a new band at us is
me too.
What I want this show to be about, you know.
Yeah.
But as a podcast, I mean, we have a singular focus, right, Tommy?
We do. And to get there, we also talk about the magical mystery word. Don't we?
Do we?
Don't we? Do we? Who we?
We what say it sometimes.
Who are you asking?
The magical mystery word is the word that if we say at any point in the episode, we don't know what it is. Only Scotty C., the executive producer of the show, knows what it is. If any person says it, we all have to stop the show immediately and take a drink. And we're going to take off our headphones and ask Scotty to whisper to you, dear Blotto Scruffs, this week's magical mystery word.
Rhyme.
We didn't hit the mystery word last episode, so I thought Scotty would be a little aggressive this ep, but apparently not.
I think I am, but I don't know.
It's not purple. Purple,
yeah. It's not right. It's not Prince.
I'm, if you guys do not say this word, I will be appalled. I don't even know.
Wow. When we were talking about David Bowie, I was just thinking of that amazing story Kara told us about David Bowie on a treadmill.
Yeah. Kara. Yeah.
That's a Blotto Beatles exclusive. Yeah. Like, who else has that content, you know?
Who else? Nobody has yet. Content? We'll see.
Scott. Yeah. Scotty, why don't you lead us into this week's track?
It's Only Love is the track we're doing. Off of Help, and it was also, I believe, on the American Rubber Soul,
mm-hmm.
or yep. something like that, like side two of the first song or something, which I always find that stuff to be like confusing and weird. Maybe you guys know more about it than me, but yeah. but yeah, this is like a pretty hard, I'd say, John song. Maybe Paul helped out a little bit. And they did say that, well, John does not like this tune. We could talk about that.
Yeah.
He's very, very adamant about not liking it. And Paul jokes about it like, oh, yeah, you know, we would have lyrics and sometimes we would just not care because it was like a rock and roll song. Who cares?
Good enough for rock and roll.
But I mean, I like it. I like this tune. I love the progression and like the chorus is a great lift and vocally and just... a little different for John, I would say, you know, in some ways. So, I mean, it's nothing too experimental or crazy, but I mean, let's listen to it. Let's have everyone listen to it. And
I get a little confession before we listen to it. I, for like a week, have been singing it as It Won't Be Long, basically. I'm like, it's only love. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's only love. I'm like, that's not the song.
That's a different song.
But it works.
Ah.
Thank you for that confession. And without further ado, we're going to pause for a second and listen to the song. We would encourage you, dear Scruffs, to do the same. Hit pause on the podcast, whether you're going to a streaming service or dropping the needle. Throw on It's Only Love. From the UK, Help. From the US, Rubber Soul. We'll see you back here in a couple
to
weeks.
To make it up, girl. It's only love, and that is all. Why should I feel the way I do? It's only love, and that is all. But it's so hard loving you.
You know, I think that maybe I'm going to be a little hard on some aspects of the song tonight, but... I want to express at the top of this before I lose any track of everything is that they generally had like 12 days to make the Help record. So I want to take that into context. And it maybe this song just needed a little bit of work that they didn't have the time to do. I really like that is that's my general statement on it because I do believe there's like a little bit of a gem in here, but like this is as garbagey as John's lyrics get. Like I don't know that there's much
yes
worse than
no.
that butterfly part. I... That is bad. That is really
but
bad.
If you look at it as a whole, right? Like there's a leap in time from verse one to verse two. Like
there is,
verse
yeah.
one is this like new love, like I'm shy around you. I'm trying to get to know you. And then we get into verse two and there's this like
and they're already
relationship
fighting.
That's past like the new love. We're fighting. Like this is old. Yeah. Like we're
welcome
we're
to my marriage, night. Jay. Yeah. You know?
No, but like yeah, we're having trouble even understanding each other or whatever. Like that I don't know that John knows that he's telling that story, whether it's like one relationship over time or these like two different relationships or whatever. Like I do think he's doing kind of Mad Lib lyric writing here a little bit, like let's put in a rhyming word and let's make it work and fit, but
ah.
Oh. Rhyme
Mad Lib
rhyme.
I mean, cheers, brother man.
It might be the most ridiculous level.
Yes.
You got to argue this because I've had arguments. I don't have anything to fuck. Shoot, I'm just going to drink more of this. But
yeah, drink more wine.
Whew. Like, we can start the argument now. It's the same word. If you say the same word twice, is it a rhyme?
No. I don't usually give credit for that. No, I don't, you know.
It happens
that's
like three or four times in
that,
this song.
That
least.
Butterfly yeah. part, and then,
butterfly,
and
butterflies.
It sounded like
yeah.
he was short a syllable, too. Like, when you sigh, my yeah. inside. He just said, my inside. Like, what?
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I think there's something here that John, like, just needed, like, a little bit of help with, or maybe a couple of, you know. A couple more days or something like that. It's just like
yeah,
a little
it's not perfect
half
for sure.
baked, you know. I
and you think that Paul's covering for him by saying like we don't have time. It's just a rock and roll song. We just
I think Paul is like yeah. distancing himself from this song.
I think it's a great
Paul's
point,
not even
though,
when have we heard Paul not pretend that he was part of the middle eight no matter what? He's like oh yeah, I think this is mostly a John yeah. tune, you know.
Yeah. This song
no,
has
like,
no middle eight.
They are still in a point where that like this media is disposable.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a great point by Paul, actually, that like they didn't think this art was forever at this point in time. Like,
but they're getting much closer to that. And I think that's why John has separated himself in the Playboy interview and so much later in life about not liking it, because there are when John mostly talks about the tunes he likes, they're kind of around here. He's proud of Help. He's proud mm-hmm. of Hide Your Love
yeah.
Away, you know.
Yeah.
So I think on the backside of this. And also, right, like, he's thrown up this fucking turd, and people are talking about Yesterday forever, right? Like, we're talking about Yesterday up till today. I mean, Yesterday, we were talking about Yesterday. And, you know, John is alongside Yesterday with this tune, you know? So, like, it's probably a little hard to reconcile that, you know?
It is not... I've preached to you all since the beginning of this pod, like... I feel like Help is a really transitional record
for
in a
sure.
lot of ways, more yeah. than Rubber Soul. This song is not the reason why I feel that way. No. You know what I mean? Like,
no, but there's definitely a shift from like the early Beatles sound to they're getting a little bit more experimental with
yes.
with their, yes, you yes. know, chord progressions and
the instrumentation
even
and
like,
everything
yeah,
else.
They're using the Leslie already or whatever, right?
Yeah, that,
yeah,
that,
yeah, that's
that guitar
one,
effect
yeah.
is like, it's not subtle. It's like it's an aggressive guitar effect that kind of like warbly. It's if you listen to that like just isolated guitar part, it's like it's not very pleasant to listen to. It's like all wah, 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 you know.
I love that there's a mess of guitars in this song. Also, like,
there's a bunch
I think
of guitars.
That's,
yeah,
that's pretty cool. You know, like again, what yeah. I do like about this tune is I believe. It's interesting. I believe it's a singer-songwriter song. Like, I believe that they wrote this. And John, vocally, his vocal lines, I believe to be interesting here. You know, I wrote a bunch where in my thoughts I'm like, oh, this belongs in Rubber Soul, and then I realized that it is on the American Rubber Soul.
I have the exact same thing, and I think that's exactly why I wrote the exact same.
I'm like, there is a maturity to this music and to John's vocal delivery here, and to sort of that like folky, you know, when he starts more vocally being like, oh, Rubber Soul's influenced by folk music and Dylan, all of that, like some of that is in here of like an interesting line that doesn't immediately follow. I want everyone to check me here, but like a vocal line that doesn't immediately follow what's going on with the guitar line here, I think is kind of,
yeah, there's an interesting kind of like, I would describe the melody line as sort of weaving. It's almost like a pattern, right? It's like I get high when I see you go by. Like, you can almost picture that, like a warm up that a horn player would do in all 12 keys. Like, do, 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 do. It could even go, do, 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 do. Like, it can just keep going. You know what I mean? There's like that.
Well, Ian McDonald describes it as like, he says Lennon is usually pretty horizontal in his lyrical melody, which to my mind means like staying around the root. Right, like,
yeah, like a steady,
you're
like
kind of just, yeah, just you're hitting one or two it. Notes around and going, and he says this is very vertical, it's really moving up and down, and it creates, and it's more Paul in a way, right?
It
like in the
way
the melody works, yeah.
But I also think it's why John is like double tracked on this, because I'm like, I also think that Paul's like, I'm not singing along with that.
The double tracking is interesting because like they didn't have the automatic double tracking at this point. So there's definitely two different takes of John singing it, and he is not in sync with himself.
Really.
Like you can hear his like he's pushing his voice and getting that rasp, which is cool, but like it doesn't line up with the other take that he did, and like it's especially on the on the chorus where he's like, it's only love. Like that where he's like really pushing his voice, like the doubled version of it, he's going all out, and it's the phrasing is even off a little bit. I think that in the original mono release, like they tried to kind of fix it and cover up some stuff. And in doing that, they kind of ducked out the tambourine for a measure or two. And then
when
they
I heard the karaoke you guys recorded, I was like, oh, I didn't really hear that before now. Like
the tambourine?
Yeah. Yeah. You guys nailed it. Nice work.
The chorus lyric, it's only love. And then the question, why do I feel like, I always think like when you say it's only, it's like the answer is it's only love.
Yeah.
And then it's the question, why do I, you know, is it like reversed? You know, is it like thoughts are reversed?
It's almost like it's dismissive about love, right? It's only love.
Well, I think, this was my...
Yeah, I had a hard time with
guys. This is my main thing I want to talk about is the maturity of the Beatles and where they get in terms of the word love, right? Like, it's only love. Why do I feel the way I do, right? Like, it's dismissive, RB, like you said, versus all you need is love. You know, just a few years later, and
they come full circle on love.
Yeah, it will. And they do it with money. They do it with money, right? Like it's what I want. You know, like I know they didn't write that song; it's a cover. But like these, like realization. You know, Becker, you talked a lot, especially at the beginning of our podcast journey here, about when do the boys become men, right? Like when these four lovable lads, and I think finding maturity and like new understandings on these concepts, especially love, is one of those areas.
Yeah, I actually there's something here about the love thing, and I'm like, oh, is this like ironic? Is like I can't quite put my finger on it. Apropos of nothing, like I almost wish that to McCartney's like Let It Be, I wish John had written a song on Let It Be called It's Only Love, like wrapping up the Beatles in sort of that way.
Yeah.
Like I wish that this title was used on like a more impactful tune, you know, like I can't quite pinpoint what he means.
So this should have been called That's a Nice Hat or whatever it was supposed to be called. <for him.
laughs> Which is also a great title for a song, you know. Oh. I
I mean, that shows you how dismissive they were of this song, though. Like that that's what they were calling it. Like as they're recording it, that's a nice hat.
Never played it again, right?
And that's what's funny about like us as a podcast. We're like, well, how much air am I supposed to give this tune? You know,
sure.
But yeah, I mean, on the It's Only Love front, is this, you know, when you want to sort of lay it all out and dramatize it, like, is it about Cynthia? Is it about that John is rising to this crazy fame and he's leaving someone behind and he's like, oh, it's only love, you know? Like, is that the sentiment of it here a little bit, you know, where it's, I should be paying more attention to this, like, this is my life and I'm a famous person and I'm a rock star and I'm all of this, but like, it's only love, you know? I think that's an angle for it. I don't know that I totally believe it, but I'm like, oh, when I want to look at all sides of it, you know, what you were saying, Tommy, earlier on about like, oh, is this a more of a sort of a cycle of a relationship? I'm like, oh, all right. I believe that angle too, you know?
Yeah. It feels like the first, you know, the first verse is new love and the second verse is like older established
or falling apart. Or, love, like, you know, something that is
30 seconds later.
And maybe that's a short period of time for John Lennon. I don't know.
Yeah, but, and he's like, going directly into the fighting. Like, this is the, and there is that down John stuff happening between here and Rubber Soul, and but he's going right into the fighting. And why?
Well,
we
the interesting part about that second verse is like, is it right that you and I should fight every night? And then just the sight of you makes nighttime.
Yeah.
Bright.
It turns really quick.
Yeah, it's not like bright, it's too, very it's bright. Very two sides of the coin there.
Why are we fighting when you make my world better, right? Like, that's the mentality there. And, maybe, again, just sticking lines together that work in a scheme that is pleasing to the ear.
What would you call that?
I can't think of any word for it. But I, you know, and what was I going to get at here? I'm not quite sure. Like, it's a mishmash of, like, any meaning is probably mistaken meaning, I think, at the end of the day, right? Like, we're pulling things that maybe the artist didn't intend, and that's okay. Like, that should happen when we're talking about art. The line I'm having the hardest time with, but it's so hard loving you. Like, the chorus makes sense to me in a way. Like, it's only love and that is all. And the way it makes sense to me is a very, like, probably misogynistic 1950s, early 60s way of, like, this little chickadee shouldn't mean that much to me sort of thing, right? Like, this is only love, and
why should I be feeling this way?
That
whatever,
big a deal, you know? But why is he saying it's so hard loving her is a piece
and
of
that's maybe what it's I because... took the sort of the Cynthia angle or the being in a relationship angle, period. And, you know, I'm out and I'm gone and all the time and I have temptations and I have all of this. And like, why is it so hard? Like, I love you so much. But why is it hard? You know, like, it's hard because all of these outside forces.
Okay.
I'm getting famous and all of these things. And like, I'd love to be with my wife. I'd love to have kids. I'd do this. Like.
Or, that's a great.
And I think it's in the delivery too. Like, there is still something going on in John's delivery here in the musicianship. Like, I think there's something here. And that's why I hate to like toss this tune off, you know, like there's something garbagey about this tune, but then there's like, oh, I want to go back and like give it another listen or like give it another thought, you know, because like, for some reason, like, I think this song, it backs up right into You Like Me Too Much, which I also think is not that great of a song, but for some reason that song sounds so much better than this tune, and I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know, there's like a piano on it, I'm like, maybe they just missed some further instrumentation that we would believe the song, but I'm like, I think the song is better than You Like Me Too Much, but You Like Me Too Much sounds better. Like, and I don't know.
But
I don't know how to rectify that with the rankings. I mean, that's for sure.
Yeah, this song sounds way better than the anthology version of this song.
Yeah.
Did you guys give that a listen? Uh-huh. Like, there's a warmth in this recording and like an intimacy or something that they do craft in like the timber of it or something. Like, there's something very warm here. Just that was the one word I kept coming back to, especially compared to that Anthology 2 version, which just seems very distant.
They did
a song about love. The interesting thing about takes, so that right? Yeah. That anthology version, like, it has like a false start in it, right? Like where he kind of John fucks up a thing, and then they immediately go into the next take. That's two of the takes, and they did six takes of this song total. Yeah. Six takes. They did it in a 3-hour session.
One of them is the finished one. Yeah.
One of them,
and I think
was
one of them is
through.
A Ringo making.
One
a
of them Ringo fucked up on.
Which and I was looking for it because apparently Ringo says everyone makes mistakes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I was like, that would be the best drop for this show. Like, I would like to put that in the soundboard, but I couldn't find
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So if anyone, actually anyone who's listening, if they have ever heard that version, I can't find it anywhere.
Could you give us a little of that false start anthology version? Is that easy enough to pull up?
Yeah, I mean, I have Spotify.
You get that out of the Bottle Beatles account?
No ads.
No. Just he's a big Joe Rogan guy.
All right. Here we come. Oh, it's 2 minutes long. It's so longer than the original. I mean,
Well, they make it all the way through then the second take.
Oh.
And going back to this, I mean, this is just when I'm like, I love that the Beatles can just play this song. Like, it feels garage bandy or something. And
that's right.
Right
it's
here,
raw. Yeah, there, yeah.
In this version, too, I'm also like, God, I love Lennon's lead on this tune. Like, I just wish he didn't, like, rhyme flies with butterflies. You know, like, that's
I knew it would fade. You think about it, then you forget.
Yep. It happens every time.
And that's the mastery of being an executive producer.
Right? EP Scotty C on the ones and twos.
No, but seriously, that's just like the... I love how you just start hearing him like play the guitar a little bit. Like,
yeah, so that's...
And
that's
it's a little more Rush sounding, maybe. That version maybe has a little more pep to it, a little more excitement, maybe.
But yeah, but that's before they overdubbed any of the electric guitar on it.
Yeah.
So that's just George and John both playing acoustics.
One
there's
of the 12,
there's a 6
right?
string and a 12 string. Yeah.
And the drum beat is similar in both takes. There's a little difference there, right? I heard someone liken this one more to the drum beat that Ringo ends up using in My Life.
There's that little
that, like, kind of like offbeat thing.
Yeah.
It both times, and this is maybe a little inside baseball. Both drum beats remind me of our friend Kenji, who was on the Magical Mystery Tour episode. It's like something he would do in a beat. He's a fantastic drummer, and it, like, pulled me into that world a bit.
Yeah,
like,
I love
Ringo. He's definitely like the Ringo of our friend group. If I had to classify him,
I'm the Pete Best.
Still waiting to be verified. Yeah,
yeah.
We said it earlier, and I don't want to pass it over because they play with the Leslie speaker so much later on. Is this one of the earliest explorations of Leslie speaker? Is it interesting that this tune that is generally kind of an acoustic guitar song that they ended up like trying to play with the Leslie speaker on it? Like, why did that happen? They were like, we have short time to make a record called Help. We've made we're making a movie around this. Like, we're going to make this record. And then they decide on this tune to be like, let's get the Leslie out and run it through that. You know, like, it seems funny.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it is a Leslie or if it's some other pedal. I honestly don't know. I tried to replicate it in doing our karaoke track, and like there's lots of different terminology for whatever that sound is. Like people use tremolo or vibrato.
One I've heard the difference between the two is like one's a horizontal shift and one's a vertical shift.
Well, so
or something, right?
A tremolo is usually a volume up and down. So it's vibrato a, it's
is a note.
And a vibrato is actually changing the pitch up and
down.
Got
it. Okay.
Which is kind of what this is. So this is closer to a vibrato than a tremolo. The confusing thing is that Fender, the guitar and amplifier company, put a tremolo into their amps, but they labeled it vibrato. and so like that just like people like hear it and it's clearly it's not changing the pitch. It's definitely changing the volume up and down, but like Fender just slapped that terminology on it, and that just confused everything.
And isn't the guitar whammy bar considered a tremolo system too?
Possibly.
Yeah, I think tremolo. They, like, I've heard the it called thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's
tremolo
used
bar.
It's used interchangeably incorrectly.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, that's funny.
It's got like a warble. It's got like a wow and flutter.
Yeah,
type
it definitely has thing. A. Yeah. It definitely is changing the pitch
so
a little bit.
You're saying tremolo is volume, right? So that's
tremolo
more like,
is volume up.
That's
and
more
down.
Like the Crimson correct. And Clover lyric. There, what they're putting on, like great thing, like where it's like the up and like
where it like kind of ducks out and comes.
It ducks in and out. Yeah.
So vibrato is like when a singer. And a probably a horn player uses vibrato to kind of like waver a note.
Exactly. Yeah, and like how you would do
that's
it on
the
a guitar.
That's the Christina Aguilera.
Is
that's when you put your hand
string,
up and down.
Yeah, that's
or you
would exactly.
Do that on American
bar,
Idol. Or, you're doing a run. You're like, oh, that's vibrato.
She's working a pedal when she's doing that?
Yeah, that's right. She's just hammering it. She's got a built-in whammy bar.
In the future, yeah, we may like be, there might be biohacking where you're like, oh, I'm going to put a whammy bar in.
There's a lot of guitar on this song.
There is.
Yeah.
There's guitars,
two acoustics.
Right? Two acoustics.
And then John does an overdub. He does the stabby stuff. The kank, kank.
Yeah, I think John does the stabbies.
And then George is doing the.
George does the weird. Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. Which makes the tune. If that was not in the song, like.
Yeah, that's there, the.
There might
cool
be
that
nothing
it,
to grab onto.
It kind of like is almost like it's only love part. Not like it's kind of like similar to it, but it's like, it kind of has a little more similarity
I
to
see
the
what you're saying
chorus
there,
part than it does to like, then the verse kind of does a whole different thing vocally. Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool. Yeah.
It's a cool little line. And it's one of those things I didn't, in first hearing this, I don't think I realized that George is also playing an acoustic. So, yeah. What you hear when you're listening to it is an acoustic guitar. It's really acoustic guitars. And then you hear an electric guitar. It's really electric guitars, right?
So they've doubled up their each guitarist is playing an acoustic and an electric.
Right. But it's one of those moments where you're like, George didn't have to play through an entire song to make his presence known, right? Like, and that's a really cool part of the Beatles. Awesome. Like, he comes out with these little lines and these little bits, especially early Beatles style, where it's like, oh, that's the thing that ties the room together. But
yeah, a little flavor in your ear. Yeah,
but yeah.
In my fantasy, I want to believe like, oh, John pulled out an acoustic, and then George pulled out an acoustic, and was like, oh, all right, we've
put a capo on this one.
John, will you capo me, bro? they wrote a song together. Like, right, we just came off of. What did we just talk about last week? Mother Nature's Son, which is such a singular effort. Like, I want to continue to celebrate these things that feel like the Beatles are doing something
collaborative,
together, you know? And so if you find a moment here and maybe this isn't the greatest Beatles song lyrics or whatever we're criticizing here, it's still pretty awesome that two people got together and wrote a song. Like, Beatles or not, like, I celebrate that for anyone making music, like, good on you. Like, I do really believe that. Like, I'm not gonna say that's above criticism.
Is it interesting?
I've been really like negative on Donovan recently, and I'm like, oh, why am I so negative on Donovan? You know, like, he's out there just like doing his thing, but I'm like, but what is his thing? You know, so maybe I need to take what I just said and reflect it back on myself and think about Donovan tonight. But sorry, where was it?
I love that point of our podcast, and I do the same thing, man. Where I say five sentences out loud, and then I go, and maybe that's why this is wrong. You know, like it's that like extroverted processing maybe that we have, but it's,
I write notes, but I don't ever want to come in like fully formed. Like, I do write notes here where I'm like, why do I feel this way? Like, RB, tell me. Like, I do feel that. Like, that's
what
I want.
Feel
this,
the way you do.
Yeah, show to be.
Why do I feel the way I do?
Yeah. Flies.
Well, why,
RB.
What?
Butterflies.
As far as why. Yeah.
Flies.
When
what
it
kind
comes
of flies?
To...
Elaborate on your flies.
Mosquitoes. Take one. He's just like doing
fruit
other
flies.
other bugs that don't rhyme. You know? They're like, why? Paul's like, just do butterflies. You know? It's like,
no, say pomegranate.
No.
So why, you know, everyone does an overdub except for Paul on this.
Yeah,
it's very rare. That's very rare. Like, he'll do a vocal. He'll do something for sure. He's always got
Paul's
something
presence
to bring.
Here. Paul's like Paul's lack of presence here. I actually think is kind of interesting. And I don't.
Maybe he was hungover or something. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he plays the bass. He doesn't sing any harmonies on it. He's just laid back doing the bass thing. And that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes me think about what you said, Becca, though. He's kind of like, doesn't want anything to do with this song.
Yeah, that's...
Here's the thing. It's pleasant enough, and this is also not at a time where a band is, you know, they're like, we need 12 songs for a record, and we're bringing in 17.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, so, and then we can kind of cut off the chaff a little bit or whatever. Like, they're bringing in the songs they have, and some of them are super last minute because they're coming out with an album every 6 to 8 months. What?
I go. Just thought of something. What if this song's about Paul?
Whoa.
And that's why Paul just doesn't want anything to do with it, because he's like uncomfortable about it.
All right. You want to keep
interesting
going?
Take?
No, that's it. That's all I need to say.
All right. All right. I think there's something to, like we were saying, the disposable nature of the music at the time. Like, they're still at a moment where, like, albums aren't albums, right? It's about singles.
Yeah. But that's the, I mean, that's why it's hard to take when you're always like, oh, you're just missing the Help album when we jump around to records. There's half of this record where you're like, oh, it's hard to take. And this is just one of those tunes. You know?
Wait,
like,
you think half of this record is hard to take?
Wow.
Hold on.
I hold a special place in my heart for Help. This was my one of my introductions to the Beatles. Is one of the first records I got was Help.
And I mean, so, like, I like this record.
I'm very
like,
attached
the,
to this.
And, I mean, you know, don't make me go through and cut the baby in front of you guys. You know,
don't worry, I'm about to. All right, the song Help. Song Help, pretty good. We're gonna say that's pretty good.
I'm gonna
song,
say that's
right?
a good song.
B+.
The night before is a banger. Yeah. The night before is a banger. You've got to hide your love away.
It's good. Like it.
Yeah, pretty good. I need you.
Yeah.
Harrison song. Okay, I'll give you. I need you. Right. Another girl.
Yeah.
I'll give you another.
It's good. But it's
you're gonna lose that girl. Pretty great tune. I like you're gonna lose that girl.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the song Ticket to Ride?
Nah. Is that
not familiar with this?
Yeah. Okay. I like that one. But then what do we follow that up with? Right.
Act Naturally.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Naturally's great. It's a good cover. Good Beatles cover. Okay, then we get It's Only Love. We're figuring out where we sit. You Like Me Too Much. Classic Harrison. Classic whiny Harrison. Right there. You Like Me Too Much. I'm going to complain about how much you like me. That's amazing. Tell Me What You See.
I like that.
All right.
Tune.
Yeah, it's a good song.
It's fine.
All right.
Tell.
I've Just Seen a Face.
I like that song a lot. It's come to life for me bigger because of we did it with Ranking the Beatles.
Yeah, of course. Do you know this one?
But
Yesterday.
I do like that song. Yeah, and that. But that's the. I mean, this is the fucking. You know, this is the meatball on this record. Like, this is such a big tune. Like it's
a basketball reference.
I thought baseball.
Oh, baseball. Yeah.
I thought pasta.
Yeah. I mean, this is like an like this is unfairly weighting this album. Like, of course, that's a big one. But like, I don't.
Dizzy
ever
Miss
have to
Lizzy.
Hear,
I'm putting.
Hold on.
Putting,
like, I don't ever have to hear Yesterday again in my life.
I'm with
like,
you on that. I understand that, but that's hard.
And Dizzy Miss Lizzy, like, this is totally tossed off. Like, that's not
it,
interesting
well,
to me.
All right, I'm going to back up a second and say I agree with you on Yesterday, and that's going to be an interesting episode because our familiarity with it makes it hard to recognize its greatness. Right?
Not
like
for me.
That's the problem. That's the problem there.
Yeah. I got no problem recognizing the greatness.
I'm not, I mean, that's.
I feel the same way about Lucy in the Sky with
song.
Diamonds. Like,
yeah.
I, you know, that's a hard song for me to listen to.
But that's where I listen to Sgt. Pepper's. I listen to that start to finish. Like, I don't. Yesterday comes up when you're doing a lot of like.
I know you've told us you go in your sauna, you throw on Sgt. Pepper's every Tuesday.
Yeah.
Sgt. Pepper's Tuesday.
Come in, I get a,
no
a,
one.
A
no
mani-pedi.
One can talk to Becker on Sgt. Pepper Tuesdays.
Yeah. Signs in as Billy Strings.
I should have gone with Sgt. Pepper Saturdays. That would have been better.
Or Sundays would be fun. That could be my religion, you know, on Sundays. But
Dizzy Miss Lizzy is, in terms of rock and roll Beatles covers, is not as good as Twist and Shout.
What do you think of those three words together?
It is better than rock and roll music. Better than rock and roll music.
But it comes out of nowhere on this record. Like, there's kind of no reason to go into Yesterday and then into Dizzy Miss Lizzy.
that really doesn't
have a place. So right. I think I just answered my own statement that I think there's some chaff on this record. Is that you separate the wheat from the chaff?
You said half. Is that what I think we counted.
No, I said
half.
Chaff. I think you guys misheard.
I said chaff. We were doing so
about
70.
Chaff this record is not
Hey,
RB, got anything on the guitar that you want to share with us?
I've been noodling here with the volume down, just trying to get my head.
RB, I have a question for you though.
Oh yeah.
There was something from I think it's Ian McDonald. It's in the same line where he talks about like the vertical nature. We were talking about that earlier of the melody line. And he says Lennon liked it so much he repeats it on Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite.
Yes. Yeah, there's definitely a similarity.
I did some AB and I can kind of hear it.
Is that what he's talking about?
Yeah, he's talking about the vocal line.
Can you guys hear that on my guitar?
Yes.
It sounds great, yeah.
It's gently weeping.
All right. So there's I talked about the weaving, the do 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 do, like that kind of thing. Like, I get high when I see you go by.
Yep.
And then he goes up to the augmented chord, which is cool.
Yeah.
Right? If you take that same progression and instead of doing it in C major, you do it in C minor. So you're now making this progression instead of if you do it in a minor key, it kind of goes.
The benefit of Mr. Kite. There will be a show tonight on trampoline, and he even goes to the augmented chord.
Oh, that's so cool! Man.
I get high when I see you go by.
So that's kind of like it's this that same kind of weaving melody, but it does change the tonality where it's in a minor instead of being centered on C major, centered on C minor.
But you still hear the intervals in the vocal line, right? Like you hear he's following that same line, even though it's major to minor, he's spacing those notes apart in the same way, which is really, really cool.
That's awesome. That's very cool.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
Damn.
What do we think about
your salary this week?
What do we think about John rolling the R in Bright? We like the little jokey John there.
That's also where I'm like, okay, we're not supposed to pay any attention to this song. The fact that he did that alone is like, all right, it's.
But don't we see that in Get Back? Like, that's the same John.
But we're also not supposed to be paying.
That's the jokiness of it. But like,
at the same time,
they did six takes of it and they kept the one where he's Bright. Like, yeah. That was the one they kept. I don't know.
It's
a little
funny.
Bit weird.
I like it. It's John. You know, like I liked seeing that John stuff come through. You know,
What do we think about the opening line though? The I get high.
Good call, man.
That's an early Beatles drug reference, right?
Thing.
And it's Help. They're smoking weed.
They're definitely smoking weed on the set of the film.
Yeah.
So yeah, and it doesn't get flagged by BBC. Like it's not an inappropriate tune, I think, at the time. So yeah, I mean it has to be an early.
Did the term get high, was the term high used before like a reference to drugs? Like, were you able to get high off love? Like, I don't know. I'm honestly asking, does anyone know the answer to that?
I thought in that early song, Pappy Slapping on a Frog.
Polly Walking on a Frog? Yeah.
They mentioned Pappy Slapping. Getting, like
do they not mention getting high? Oh, yeah, maybe next but week's
that,
version.
That
will,
was in a hot air balloon race around the world. That's what they were talking about there.
Oh, my God.
It was literally getting high. What, you, the not, only other John vocal thing here I think it's interesting to talk about is at the end when he goes high in that vocal, and it's to me like clearly a Roy Orbison call out in a way, you know what I mean? Like, we know they toured a little bit with Roy Orbison in the very early
where he,
days,
like,
and they
that
were
high note and hangs.
Yeah,
like,
he hits that high note near the end with you. Like, it's a very Roy Orbison. Yeah.
You're about to hear us all hit very appropriate.
Oh, yeah. Nail awesome that.
You're welcome, dear listener.
But I think it's like an homage to Roy a bit there.
And I think that's probably like also some playfulness, like behind the mic and all of like, and that's where I'm like, oh, this is kind of just like a half constructed acoustic tune that they made the best of in those six takes, and they had to make it work and just a little bit more room to breathe. This, we might be talking about this as a more interesting sort of like early evolution of John, because we're all pointing out these little things that we like about John later, and they exist in this song. Mm-hmm. I think he sounds great in it. Like, I really like at the core of it, I love.
That's what's hard to deny.
One of these John pieces where I'm like, oh, like he sounds great. I love this John voice.
The tonal
this
quality.
John voice exists
is awesome.
Into the 70s, into the. Like, I think that this is John here, you know, and I always love when you find that. But there's, you know.
In terms of meaning and poetry and whatever else.
It needs a little work. And, you know, that's. I don't think that's awful, you know.
It bums me out that he's so dismissive about it.
Yeah, that's the hardest
song.
Part.
Like,
you know?
I like, it's a nice melody. It's a cool, it's a tight little pop number. Like, but to hear him, like, trash it, be like, this is garbage.
Abysmal, as some words.
RB,
like,
do you think, like, we talked about the Mr. Kite thing. Do you think he knows that Mr. Kite is the similar chords and melody? And it's almost, we talked last week about, we were doing Mother Nature's Son. We talked about Child of Nature Becomes Jealous Guy. That's clearly the exact same song.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's rewriting the lyrics to be its own. Is this similar in a way where he recognizes, you think, that, and we're guessing here, he recognizes, I had something and I missed it and I need to grab it and go?
That's a good question.
Like, or is it totally disparate? He doesn't even see them as the same thing.
I gotta think that, especially with the inclusion of that augmented chord at the end, that he must know that this is like a reference to something that he's done in the past, but it's an evolution of it, right? It's he did it in a different, it's like, it's not a ripoff. I wouldn't call it that.
No, you have your personal tendencies too. Like, I sit down, I play with my guitar, and you always
start with a G chord or whatever. Yeah,
you know what I mean. You got to start something, whatever. But like, you always want to try to approach it with something fresh or whatever. But inevitably, I'm going to be doing the things that are me. You know what I mean? And like, him going to that augmented chord is what his brain is hearing next. You know, based on maybe other tunes he's made and whatever. But you can't like get away from some of the stuff like that. I don't think. I mean,
so if we think there's some connection here, being for the benefit of Mr. Kite, we have it number 20 on our list. So it's probably just 21, right? We'll call it a day. Right there. We're done.
Oh, you want to get down to ranking it?
Oh, we're gonna. You're talking about our big old list of Beatles songs from best to worst, Becker?
Big old list.
I like that. I want to start calling this big old. It's getting big.
It is getting pretty big. And if we're to
I'm not putting this in the 20s, but go ahead.
Well, if we're to nail some highlights right now on that big old list, currently out of 52 tracks that we've ranked so far, number one is Happiness is a Warm Gun from the White Album. Number 10 is And Your Bird Can Sing from Revolver. Just re-released that Revolver record. New mixes, some outtakes. That thing's pretty great. Number 20 currently. Oh, my goodness. Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite. We talked about that one a little bit this evening. Currently at number 30, Things We Said Today from A Hard Day's Night. At number 40, we've got You Can't Do That, also from A Hard Day's Night. And then...
Number 50.
Currently,
so hard.
At 48. Number...
we have a great
team. Oh, number 48. That's exactly what I was looking for. Oh, at number 48, we've got A Taste of
Honey.
Tasting much sweeter than wine.
Than Scotty's Chianti.
Number 50, I'm Happy Just to Dance With You
where
from A Hard Day's
put,
Night.
Where we're did we really just put Cry Baby Cry last week?
Well, let me finish. Number 52, last but not least.
I know, you're going in the wrong direction. Where did we put Cry Baby Cry?
Last but not least.
We haven't done that song yet. We were talking about Mother Nature's Son last week.
Yeah. Oh, hey! Where did we put Mother Nature's Son?
Oh, Mother Nature's Son? I don't know. Do you rank it?
Yeah, 19.
19. That's currently 19.
Kind of a solid placement. We're a big white album pod.
Here's the thing. I'm looking right now at number 39. Tell Me Why. This song is not as good as Tell Me Why.
You want me to tell you why?
Tell me why you cry.
Well, let's look at the last the Help song that we got in here, right?
So Act Naturally.
It's a better song than Act Naturally.
Yes.
It's better than Act.
As much as I love that one. It's my favorite and my least favorite.
I'm almost happy where RB just called it because, like,
is it better than Baby It's
yes.
You? Sha-la-la-la.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's better than that. Is it better than Don't Bother Me Though?
It's definitely not better than what's right above Don't Bother Me What You're Doing. I think What You're Doing is better. Personally.
Yeah. I feel like we're right around here somewhere. I don't think because of the George connection on Don't Bother Me, and like, I don't think it's better than Don't Bother Me. I don't.
Here's my problem right now is I can't remember what Don't Bother Me sounds like. Anyone help me out? Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Don't bother me. Don't bother me.
I love Grumpy George.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, damn, don't bother me.
I think you did that. Act impersonation on the app.
What are B and Scott interested?
I'm okay
in
with slotting it in this wheelhouse.
Yeah, anywhere in this 40 to 44 or whatever we're talking about. Yeah.
What do we think? Above or below? Don't Bother Me. Back or saying below? We're gonna go in between.
I'm
Baby
below,
it's you.
Like I'm a big George guy, and this is
Yeah. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I don't think this is better than sort of George's.
Yeah, I mean, it's only Devon. Love. Who cares?
All right, it's all. Only Love from the Help record, a John tune, our new number 43. For those of you thinking we are just an entirely pro John podcast, this should show you something, right? This
is yeah, we're just
some bottom tier,
the second to last
John
song.
Material.
Yeah. What is the number one Help song we have up there? It must be Hide Your Love Away or...
Did we do Hide Your Love Away?
Yeah, we did that with...
We did. Oh, we did. Yeah.
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 Boom. You've got a Hide Your Love Away in currently number 14. Yeah.
Mm. I like that we have a misspelling on number 6.
I do too. Yeah. With it be. Yeah. That shows where we were.
It was entered at the end of that episode.
LWT it be. LWT it be.
Yeah.
We're going to leave that.
You know
there.
Me.
Yeah. Oh, hey. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, did we do it?
I think we did it.
Did we do it?
I think we did it. I think that, my friends, was another episode of Blotto Beatles. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much
episode.
For listening. Oh, that was twite. Did we hit that magical mystery word? We did, Scotty. Yeah. That magical mystery word, we hit it twice, was...
It's rhyme time. It's rhyme time.
Oh, my
God. Time to put the news in a rhyme.
Scotty, that's why we got you on the ones and twos, man, as our executive producer. We also have me, Tommy, and you, Becker. We are your co-hosts. Scotty, as we said, is our executive producer. We have additional musical supervision and assistance from our good friend, RB. That B always stands for Beatles. We also at times have additional musical assistance from our friend Tim Clark. I don't know. Was he on this one tonight, this karaoke track?
I don't know. Did you play bass, Barbie?
No, I played the bass on this one.
All right.
Tim, what the heck? Get on your game, man. You can find us on all the socials, my friends. You can always find us at Blotto Beatles. And go over to blottobeatles.com where you can visit our shop, where you can drunk dial us. Go over to your podcast app of choice. Hit those 5 stars. Hit that review button. We got a great, very lovely review this week. And we want to keep those coming, so don't forget to do that.
But the most thing about these recent reviews is really that it is what I want the pod to be. So if some people are getting that or anyone's enjoying that and expressing that, that's meant a lot to me.
And also send snacks.
Yeah.
And also send snacks. We got some snacks up coming our way.
We have on deck.
Next time we get in person.
I hope there's no, like, I know it's from Louisiana.
Perishable or anything?
Gator meat in there.
Send crawfish in there. Put a box full of crawfish.
Things trying to crawl its way out.
My dog keeps barking at it, so I don't know.
Oh my goodness. Please, please, please remember this show is performed by absolute professionals. Just as we are, we encourage you to join Blotto Beatles responsibly. Anyone here driving anywhere this evening?
No,
absolutely.
Heck
not.
No. We got DoorDash coming to our doors. We're not promoting DoorDash as a service, but if they would sponsor us. Yeah,
I mean, I would love a mouthful of Arby's right now.
Five for $5 is what it used to be.
Just two more things I have to say.
They've
the
got
first
the beat.
Is that...
Oh.
Two more things I have to say. The first is that opening weekend of Blotto Beatles the Musical is going to be off Broadway. It's going to be very soon. We're going to ask you to look out for it. And the second thing is this, and that is, my friends, peace and love.
Yeah. Peace and love.
Peace and love.
It's only love and that is all. Why should I feel the way I do? It's so